Here's LeBron's statement.
You mean, as told... Wait, what is it? I'm coming home by LeBron James. As told to Lee Jenkins. Make sure Lee Jenkins gets his due.
Before anyone cared where I would play basketball, I was a kid from Northeast Ohio. It's where I walked. It's where I ran. It's where I cried. It's where I bled. Okay, he did not write that.
Nope. No.
No way.
That does sound Mitch Albom-esque.
It is. I'm telling you, the first thing I thought when I read this, especially the last line of the whole letter, is so Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
Athletes don't write like this. This is for effect. It's where I ran. It's where I walked. It's where I cried. It's where I bled. Is LeBron really going to talk about taking the job with the Cleveland Cavaliers because he bled there as a child? I don't think so.
No way.
Somebody who's looking for a little drama would say that.
And it sets the tone for the whole thing.
It holds a special place in my heart. People there have seen me grow up. What? He would not say that. People seen him grow up. I mean, if anything, he'd say, I grew up there, my friends are there. He wouldn't say, people there saw me grow up. Jesus. I sometimes feel like I'm their son. What? What?
He would never say that.
He's Cleveland's son. He thinks that the older people there consider him their son. They're his parents. So he has hundreds of thousands of parents, millions of parents,
after all,
living in Cleveland.
That's where they saw him grow up. That's where he bled. That's where he cried.
Their passion can be overwhelming, but it drives me. I want to give them hope when I can.
Oh, God. He's so giving. So
I want to inspire them when I can. My relationship with Northeast Ohio is bigger than basketball. No, it is not.
All it's about is basketball.
My God, how could anyone else even write that to have come out of his mouth? I didn't realize that 4 years ago. I do now. So this is the whole Band-Aid on the... I'm taking my talents.
Mm-hmm.
They're working on the Band-Aid, and you can tell they work even harder as it gets further into this. Remember when I was sitting up there at the Boys and Girls Club in 2010?
Take me back.
First of all, as if he'd bring this up.
No.
And this fall, man, it's very tough. And this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
That's the last thing he wants to talk about, but someone's convinced him that he needs to bring it up in order to make it go away. In other words, sort of suggest that, it was a mistake. There's an apology just blended through this whole thing that he didn't write. I was thinking, this is really tough.
Yeah, that's what you said.
I could feel it.
He said, this fall, man, it's very tough. And this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
I was leaving something I'd spent a long time creating.
I had spent a long time creating?
Yes. Yes. Okay. If I had
Just him? He was the only one building the
apps?
Okay. Six?
At the end of the day.
If this was him writing it, there would have been about five of those so far.
At the end of the day.
There are no at the end of the days in this entire piece. Okay. If I had to do it all over again, I spent a long time creating.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he'd say I spent time creating. I don't think any athlete would say that.
He'd say imposing his own will.
Miami for me has been almost like, if I had to do it all over again, obviously I'd do things differently, but I'd still have left. Miami for me has been almost like college for other kids.
He was 25 when he went to Miami.
These past 4 years helped raise me into who I am. I became a better player and a better man. I learned from a franchise that had been where I wanted to go. I will always think of Miami as my second home. Without the experiences I had there, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today. So he's trying to make it sound like, look, you didn't like it, it was a mistake, but this is what's going to enable me to come back.
Yeah, yeah.
I needed this apprenticeship in Miami, my winning school. I went to winning college, and now I've brought that back to you so we can win too.
Yeah. Even though, later you see what he promises regarding winning.
I went to Miami because of D. Wade and CB. We made sacrifices to keep UD. I love becoming a big bro to Rio. I believe we could do something magical if we came together. And that's exactly what we did.
But did Jackson write it?
I know. That's this is just so ludicrous that he would have written it.
We could do something magical if we came
Boom.
Up. That's what we did.
The hardest thing to leave is what I built with you, those guys.
I built, wow, so he built the Cleveland franchise and he built the Miami franchise.
Yes, I love you. I've talked to some of them and we'll talk to others. Nothing will ever change what we accomplished. We are brothers for life.
Wait, you could have still played with them.
I also want to thank Mickey Arison and Pat Riley for giving me an amazing 4 years. Pat Riley's so pissed at him right now, so he has to do that. He's got to try and fix those other little things while he's doing this Cleveland repair work. I'm doing this essay because I want an opportunity to explain myself uninterrupted. In other words, I didn't want to be asked questions because then I would say something wrong.
Yep.
Instead of this endless explanation,
mm-hmm.
which perfectly answers exactly what I want to answer and what I don't want to answer.
So contrived.
With someone else's brain, by the way.
Yep.
I don't want anyone thinking, he and Eric Spoelstra didn't get along, he and Riles didn't get along, that he couldn't put the right team together. That's obviously not true. I'm not having a press conference or a party. After this, it's time to get to work. Oh, so I see. He's there for saying the mistakes of the past, the not one, not two, not three, that's not going to happen again. Just getting to work. When I left Cleveland, I was on a mission. I was seeking championships, and we won two.
Oh, well, you could have stayed and maybe tried to win two in Cleveland.
Yeah, he's really implying that...
It's impossible that for Cleveland to have ever won it without his buddies, his boyfriend.
Yeah, no, he's really implying that this thing put together for Miami insulting. Was something he had to do, even though he regrets it, he wishes it didn't happen, something he had to do
yeah.
to go to winning school, and that it couldn't have happened in Cleveland, which is really ridiculous. They were in the finals, for Christ's sake. But yeah, Miami...
I guarantee you, if they won four straight, he'd still be in Miami.
But Miami already knew that feeling. Our city hasn't had that feeling in a long, long, long time. My goal is still to win as many titles as possible, no question. What's most important for me is bringing one trophy back to Northeast Ohio. Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of promising one championship.
He's bringing two. The two he won in Miami. He's bringing them back.
I always believed I'd turn to Cleveland and finish my career there. I just didn't know when.
He never said
no. He did not. That's such bull crap. He didn't know. How ugly it was going to get when he took his talents to South Beach. He did not anticipate that at all.
What a disaster the last finals were.
After the season, free agency wasn't even a thought. But I have two boys, and my wife, Savannah, is pregnant with a girl. I started thinking about what it would be like to raise my family in my hometown. I looked it up. Now, that is such BS. That is such a lie. His brain is full of lineups and rosters and dollar bills. That thing about raising his kids in Cleveland, are you kidding? I looked at other teams, but I wasn't going to leave Miami for anywhere but Cleveland. The more time passed, the more it felt right. This is what makes me happy. Fixing his image.
Mm-hmm.
People not being hated by everyone in Ohio. To make the move, I needed the support of my wife and my mom, who can be very rough. A letter from Dan Gilbert, the booing of the Cleveland fans, the jerseys being burned... Seeing all that was hard for them. My emotions were more mixed. It was easy to say, okay, I don't want to deal with those people ever again. But then you think about the other side. This is such bull, as if he would have ever, ever, ever said this. What if I were a kid who looked up to an athlete, and that athlete made me want to do better in my own life, and then he left? So he's assuming that he made kids want to do better in their own lives.
Yeah,
well, that's what all kids think when they see LeBron.
Yep.
It's rather presumptuous, isn't it?
Yeah. He's bringing hope to those people that raised him. Six.
At the end of the day.
What if I were a kid who looked up to an athlete and that athlete made me want to do better in my own life and then he left? How would I react? I've met with Dan face to face, man to man. We talked it out. Everybody makes mistakes. I made mistakes as well. Who am I to hold a grudge? That's really amazing.
Yeah. There's no way he
so he's
ever
giving
that.
There, he's giving the Cleveland fans permission to burn his jerseys, mm-hmm. that they had a right to do it. Dan Gilbert had a right to be mad.
Everything is forgiven.
Yeah, everything is okay. And he understands it, too. He understands why they did that, because he let down all those people who were looking for him in terms of how to grow up. I'm not promising a championship. I know how hard that is to deliver. We're not ready right now. No way, of course. I want to win next year, but I'm realistic. It'll be a long process, much longer than it was in 2010. This is one big sandbag.
Yep.
He's doing exactly the opposite of what he did in Miami.
Pretty smart by his PR team.
He now realizes how foolish the pressure it put on him to say not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. Now he's saying not even one, and maybe not for a long time. Yeah. I need time.
I gotta be patient.
You know he thinks they can win it this year or next year.
Oh.
Of course he does.
That's why he went there.
Kevin Love maybe there.
Yeah. The roster that was promised to him in Cleveland is better than the roster that's promised to him in Miami.
Not two, not three, not four,
okay, just
not
two.
Five, all right, not six, not seven.
No, he knows. Somewhere along the line it all got through to him how absolutely horribly arrogant all that was. And so now he's sandbagging. This is smart.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wrote this was trying to do him some good. So it'll be a long process, much longer than it was in 2010. I know that. Going into a situation with a young team and a new coach, I'll be the old head. I will be the old head. Are we really supposed to believe an athlete like LeBron James wrote that?
Nope.
But if I get a thrill out of bringing a group together and helping them reach a place they didn't know they could go, I see myself as a mentor now, and I'm excited to lead some of these talented young guys.
What an ego.
I think I can help Kyrie Irving become one of the best point guards in our league.
He already is one of the best point guards in the league.
I can make him better.
What?
I think I can elevate Tristan Thompson and Deion Waiters. I can elevate him. And I can't wait to reunite with Anderson, one of my favorite teammates.
By the way, no comment of about Anthony Bennett or Wiggins, because
nope.
He already knows that they are gone for a Kevin Love.
Gone.
But this now is the biggest lie.
Get ready. Yeah, get ready for the ultimate Mitch Albom line.
But this next one is the biggest line of crap.
But this is not about the roster or the organization. I feel my calling here goes above basketball.
There's no way LeBron wrote that.
So now he is of religious significance.
Yeah.
There's a religious calling of him.
Well, he's giving them hope. He's lifting them up.
There's no calling in Miami. There's a calling in Cleveland, though. A calling.
He's the Messiah returning, Drew.
That's what it sounds like. I'm serious.
I know.
That sounds like what he's saying.
I'm not joking. He's got a Messiah.
I have a responsibility to lead in more ways than one. I take that very seriously. My presence can make a difference in Miami, but I think you mean more where I'm from. I want kids in Northeast Ohio like the hundreds of Akron third graders I sponsor through my foundation. Weasel in a foundation mention.
He would never mention that.
His charity would have been among the last things on his mind.
I don't even think that. I think that probably got put in on the third draft by the PR department. Someone probably mention
the foundation in.
Don't forget that. Oh man, where are we gonna put the foundation at?
Mind they take the 20th of his check, that great tax write off he got for the foundation.
Which, by the way, they only got did the Boys and Girls Club for the decision to offset the bad feelings that it was going to have. Remember that?
Yeah.
That article?
Yep.
It's the only reason a charity was brought in.
So, I think it could mean more where I'm from. I want kids in Northeast Ohio, like the hundreds of Akron third graders I sponsored through my foundation, to realize there's no better place to grow up. Maybe some of them will come home after college and start a family or open a business.
Oh, because LeBron's playing basketball there.
As if he cares what kids in Northeast Ohio do after college, as if that's even on his mind. Are you kidding me? That would make me smile. Our community, which has struggled so much, needs all the talent it can get.
It also struggled 4 years ago when you left.
But
I guess you realize that now.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to leave, Drew, to realize that.
To get the perspective. I can see it from afar. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see the ocean for the trees. Why am I talking like this?
That is something he would say.
That would make me smile. Our community, which has struggled so much, needs all the talent it can get. In Northeast Ohio, nothing is given. Everything is earned. You work for what you have. I'm ready to accept the challenge. I'm coming home.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
Is that not Albom-esque? Did Mitch Albom write this?
Well, who believes that LeBron James actually wrote all that?
No one.
No one.
No one. Who buys that?
I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming.
Hey, Zach.
Hey, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Man, great. A great reading there. Gotta love the proper grammar that he's been using.
Yeah, no, there's not a grammatical mistake in the entire thing.
No. One question that hasn't been, at least I haven't heard, is whether or not, let's say if the Heat won this year, do you think he would have opted out and left for Cleveland?
No.
Or do you think he would have stayed in Miami?
No. I think he would have gone for four in a row, don't you?
I think he would have stayed, absolutely.
Exactly.
He saw the writing on the wall of how bad that team was going to be.
For some reason, that calling just wouldn't be there.
Got it.
Yeah.
Or he wouldn't hear it.
Totally, totally. And, you know, that's the thing. And now this letter that he supposedly wrote, it's so self-serving. It's ridiculous.
Mentions the foundation. Do you think he really cares if Northeast Ohio kids after college come back to Northeast Ohio? Do you think that really is on his mind?
I'm sure that was part of his decision to come back to Cleveland.
Okay.
I think the fact that he...
No, it sounds like a governor wrote it. I mean, that part does.
Politician, yeah.
That's the kind of thing politicians care about, not athletes.
The
come
fact
on.
That he wrote a letter instead of having a press conference...
He doesn't want to answer questions.
You're right. He absolutely does not. Because he knows...
That's a wild card.
He would say the wrong thing. He's trying to rebuild his image.
And the question would come up that he doesn't have the right answer to. He's trying to fix things.
Especially after reading that article yesterday, the one that Nike killed.
Right.
Shows how manufactured he is.
And we'll get into that. It's a three-year-old. It's a three-year-old piece a guy was hired to write, essentially by Nike.
Mm-hmm.
And he did write a piece, and it got squashed.
They told him he could follow LeBron around for 3 days and then interview him on the final day.
But they were around the whole time, of course.
Yeah, the whole thing was manufactured.
Yeah. No, it was really strange. I really wasn't aware that a lot of stuff like that was going on. Obviously, you know, some of it is, but... is this Mike?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good, Mike. What do you want to say?
I just love how you guys actually... I mean, that's what I thought the minute Diesel was reading it, you know. And I think totally crafted. It's like, you know, it's like a book that like a comedian writes. There's also a ghostwriter there, and sometimes the comedian credits them, and sometimes they don't. I mean, and then he didn't have his buddy Jim Gray, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought that would have been his man. And then also, on top of that, I'd have to say, though, you know, and then he just happens to be going to the World Cup, too. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no way to respond. He's not going to respond to this. He's not even in the country.
Right. It's like the 1950s, you know what I mean? They would be like, hey, Mickey Mantle's going to be here. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And Mickey waved, and that was Mickey Mantle visiting a grocery store back in New York, you know what I mean?
Well, there was no media, so you didn't really have to worry about those things. You could, I mean, it was so much easier to get your message out and have only your message out and nothing really in between you and the message to screw it up. Nobody throwing questions at you, no TMZ coming after you. It's not easy to do this, but he successfully did it, and I expect the World Cup is part of that. Going away, going to the World Cup, who can possibly get to him at the World Cup? I mean, and that's the other thing about that article that was squashed back in 2011. We will read that later, is how tough it is to get to LeBron James.
Yeah.
Man, it's a bitch.
Even when you're supposed to interview him. Here's what LeBron really feels about regular people.
Does it bother you that so many people are happy to see you fail?
Absolutely not. Because at the end of the day, all the people that was rooting on me to fail, you know, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow and have the same life that they had before they woke up today. You know, they got the same personal problems that they had today. You know, and I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live and continue to do the things that I want to do with me and my family and be happy with that. So, you know, they can get a few days or a few months or whatever the case may be on being happy about not only myself, but the Miami Heat not accomplishing their goal. But, you know, they got to get back to the real world at some point.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get back to the real world. Oh, there's no real world for you.
Matt?
Hey.
Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, when I heard the news breaking, I turned on ESPN radio and I heard Colin Cowherd. He was saying that the letter that LeBron wrote was the best letter written ever by any human being.
Well, I'd like to know who the human being is, though.
Yeah.
Don't tell me he thinks that LeBron James wrote this letter.
Yeah, everybody's buying this. And then after
you got to be kidding me.
I turned on Cleveland's ESPN affiliate because I wanted to hear what was going on in Cleveland. The hosts of their show were reading the letter on the air, and they broke down and were crying during it.
Oh, come on!
And then yeah, callers were calling in, and they were
callers were calling in and saying,
"When you were reading the letter, I was crying just like you were. Don't be ashamed of it, you know."
Oh my God! He didn't write a word of it.
No, there's no way it's believable that he wrote that.
Actual audio of the Cleveland radio host earlier today. Matt Hump,
MVP speech.
Do you believe he wrote any of it, or, I mean, do you believe he consulted with somebody? What do you think happened here?
I think somebody wrote it for him, and it was released by his people.
do you think LeBron even read it?
I'm sure he read over it, but I don't buy for a minute that he wrote any of it.
I bet that he might have been part of a circle of people who were trying to decide what he wanted to get across.
Of course.
But in the end, someone else took some notes, and he probably signed off on it after someone else signed off on it that really mattered, like a PR person.
Of course.
Of course LeBron's letter is calculated. Wake up, as anyone's would be.
But he's not passing it off that way.
No, it's they're implying by LeBron James.
If LeBron was a white guy, you wouldn't be ragging his letter.
It has nothing to do with it.
What? Oh, please. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up, man?
Hey, I had to change the subject on you guys, but about 20 minutes ago, so you're going off on Ben Scully there and how you sound.
Oh, no, we only go off on black people.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Sorry about that, Greg. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, well, I don't know if you guys, July 2nd, Cleveland Indians and the Tribe, or Cleveland Indians and the were at Dodgers, and there's a triple play, and it was the first play in baseball, and there's two replays, actually. It was a fly out to left, Brantley threw the guy out at home, and then they threw down to second, got Puig, and they called Puig safe. Cleveland challenged it, called him out, triple play, but then Mattingly came out, reviewed play at home, and they called him out. So the triple play stood. It was about like a 5-6 minute thing. And I listened, and I watched it on the MLB site, the Vin Scully version. The dude is so clueless. He called the triple play a double play at least 7 or 8 times, and then after, the rule, and when there's a replay, the opposing manager that's on the wrong side of it can't come out and argue it, otherwise you're automatically ejected. Well, Mattingly comes out, but the video shows him saying, "Hey, can you review the play at home?" Vin Scully doesn't pick up on any of that. He's trying to use all his big words and trying to make everybody sound like, "I'm the smartest man in the world." And it's like the video showing Don Mattingly telling the umpires, "I want replay on the play at home." It's and then he keeps referring to it as double play. He has no idea what's going on in the play. And then on the same site, you can see the Cleveland version of it. It's dead on. They're describing exactly what happened, why Mattingly wasn't ejected, because he wasn't arguing. He was just saying, "I want to review the play at home." And Vin Scully, at no point, even after the replay at home, the second replay, did he even mention that there was a second replay going on? He's like, "Oh, I guess there's 3 outs. That's how many outs there's always been in my lifetime of doing baseball." It's not just so stupid.
Well, 85 is really up there to be calling baseball games, and I'm sure Vin most of the time does a really good job, but he does try to flower it up with a lot of big words. I mean, there's a little Mitch Albom and Vin Scully, too.
Why does he do it by himself?
That's a good question. I don't know. Mass, why does he work alone?
He's just done that from the get-go.
I mean, wouldn't
Red
it be
Barber
the...
Barber worked alone. He worked alone as well.
Wouldn't it be the perfect time for Vin Scully, though, to have a partner now?
Yeah.
You know, with... I would think his eyesight would be failing a bit, too. I mean, that's really lonely when you're in there and you get it wrong and you don't know. And
yeah. I'm sure nobody could tell him what to do.
But Larry King and the
Beatles. Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure he doesn't want to work with anybody.
Right.
Because he loves the daring do of Vin Scully doing it alone. The daring do.
Hey, this, back from LeBron, this texter says, I was in Cleveland when it was announced, and the host on 92.3, The Fan, were crying, just like the caller
said.
Oh,
come on!
This was interesting. He said the host is Chuck Booms from...
Kelly and Booms?
Kylie and Booms. Yeah, which is a great show, or was a great show.
I can't imagine Booms crying at that.
That was my point. He's a comedian.
He's sarcastic enough. He would never accept this as being from LeBron's mouth.
No.
It's not.
He's a great broadcaster. I feel like I'm sounding like Maz now.
I'm proud of you. Welcome to my side.
I love Kylie and Booms. They used to be...
Guys, think about it. He probably did write the letter with a consultant. That's why it took him so long to make the decision. He wanted to sound sincere. Oh, please. If LeBron was a white guy, he wouldn't even get this attention. No, he gets his attention because he's a great basketball player. I mean, even on the negative side, look at the positive side. If he wasn't this great basketball player, no one would be talking about this.
And race has nothing to do with this.
This is about what he did.
Was he black or white?
This has to do with what he did last time in free agency. He screwed up big time.
Yeah.
The decision. And this time almost seemed like it was headed down that path because all the attention, people are dying to know what LeBron's going to do. It's a huge, huge thing. The biggest thing that will happen in basketball in the next year. Who will he play for? And he made, in the end, I think he made the right decision. He may have reclaimed his throne as the most popular guy maybe in any sport. Because it's kind of hard to accept him as this extremely popular athlete. I'm sure he is, but I mean, as a most popular athlete, when his hometown is down on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's obviously over. They're going to eat this up.
My problem with him is I always thought he has never been humble. I think he's very contrived.
Yeah. Well, he's had his ass kissed since he was, adults have been kissing his ass since he was 10 years old.
But I still think he's only going to Cleveland because it's the best roster and the best situation for him.
That part was going to work out. As soon as he decided he was interested, they made it work.
Yep.
They've had the number one pick 3 out of 4 years. Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of contrivance there. It's all going to work out for him. He's going to have the best roster again. I mean, isn't that great to be able to be a free agent and sign with the best roster and make him a champion? Fred McLeod after 5?
All right.
Freddie!
This texter says, maybe Vin Scully wrote LeBron's essay.
Fred's doing play-by-play on the cab broadcast, correct?
Correct.
For a long time, since you left Detroit.
Yep. Yeah. Fred was at Riff with us when I first got here. Fred was doing sports. Played on a softball team, and man, Fred was not a good sport. When Fred popped out.
Really?
Or flew out. Oh, yeah.
Very competitive?
Oh, he could throw a fit.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, very competitive. Good. The first thing I'm going to ask him is if he still throws his bat when he makes an out. He's got a beautiful wife, too.
Yeah.
And Mrs. McLeod.
Where is she?
Probably doing a lottery thing there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, Joe, will you ask him about his wife off the air? I just want to make sure.
Sure.
Something strange hasn't happened. I have no reason to think so. But anyway, we'll be right back, and Fred McLeod will join us from Cleveland.
Hey, Tigers fans, do you want to talk baseball? I mean, do you really want to geek out on baseball?
Oh, hang on. Oh, boy.
Then, the new Detroit Sports 105.1 has the show for you. Tomorrow at noon, it's Hardcore Baseball with Tony Paul.
Confucius wrong. Men with four balls cannot walk.